Look at Matthew 7, starting in verse 15. He talks about false prophets and false teachers, being aware of that. So if you'll look, I'm going to read that passage in Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 15, down through verse 20. Jesus said, "Beware the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will follow them, you will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, but nor figs from thistles are they. So every good tree bears good fruit, and every bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits." You think about some teaching Jesus gave us in this past section of Scripture. So today we think about false teachers. Are there any? We forget that sometimes, I think. So let's think about it. Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets." I'm going to use the word false teachers, because in this sense, he's talking about people who teach and share things about the Lord, not so much future prophecy, per se. But he said, "Beware of them." So the first thing I want you to write in on your notes, by the way, if you haven't got them out, there are notes in your bulletin to make some notes on. I encourage you to write down some thoughts. I find that sometimes something pops in my mind when somebody's preaching and that he didn't say, but it hits me. If I write it down, I remember it. If I don't write it down, I forget it. So I encourage you to do that. So the first thing is, be aware that false teachers may look good. Be aware that false teachers may look good. Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inside they're ravenous wolves." He said that these teachers do not come to be and put up red flags or neon signs that said, "I'm a false teacher." They come, he said, like sheep in a sheep's clothing. They pretend to be a part of the group, a part of the faith and of the walk in Christ. He says, beware of them. So, I need to think about that. Be aware, false teachers may look good. Let me read the scripture passage and think about that for a while. "But what I am doing, I will continue to do, so that I may cut off opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the matter about which we are boasting. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguised himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants alike disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds." He said, there are individuals who want to be considered as apostles or followers of Jesus. They want to be regarded like all the other apostles. But he calls them false, and they disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. But he reminds us the reason for that is Satan himself disguises himself as an angel of light. So I think we would agree that Satan doesn't come to you always directly. Does he come to you through individuals? He comes through individuals through whom he works. It's interesting, as I think about it, God works through people and the devil does too. Most of the time, they didn't come to us in some kind of out-of-body experience. It's the devil comes to us in people. And that's what he said. Jesus said, beware of false prophets, because they may appear to be in sheep's clothing. This passage, he talked about disguising themselves as servants of righteousness, but the end will be according to their deeds. So, false teachers may look good. Here's what I want you to think about. Do you know anybody who is a good neighbor, a good friend, honest, decent, but who is a person who of false teaching? See, what I'm concerned about is sometimes we see people and say, well, I know them. They're good friends. They're good neighbors. They pay their bills. And so they must be okay when it comes to teaching about spiritual things, because we see them as being people who are good people. But I need to be aware, and I hope you're aware, that just because they look good doesn't mean they're good. I'll talk more about the inside part as I go. But right now, just be aware that your neighbors and the people you know may appear to be really, really wonderful people. But can wonderful people be deceived? Can wonderful people be sincerely deceived? Yes. So not all false teachers, I think, set out deliberately to deceive, although I think there are some who do. But I need to be aware that there are those who are deceived, who don't know the truth, or who have been misled along the way, and they look fine when you look at them on the surface. But when you get down to the bottom line, to who they are, what they believe, and so on, we'll have to evaluate whether or not they're really good teachers or not. So Jesus said, be aware that they come in sheep's clothing. So I just encourage you to check them out. By the way, I would encourage you to check me out. I'm serious. Any pastor you need to check out on your own in the Word. I'll talk more about the Word in a minute. But I think you need to look beyond the surface and see. And we'll talk more about that aspect. But just to say, be aware, you need to check them out. So the next thing that's on your notes is evaluate teachers or prophets or spiritual leaders by what they produce. In verse 16, he said, you're going to know them by their fruits. He said, grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So you look at the outcome of their life and of what they teach and evaluate it based on that. So the first thing you can write down on your notes is, do they produce good fruit? Do they produce good fruit? The Scripture says, remember those who led you, who spoke the Word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The admonition from Scripture is, I look for the lifestyle and the relationship and how they are living as far as God's principles are concerned. Now, as I mentioned, they may be pretty good friends and neighbors, but do they live out what God's Word says? Are they true to Scripture? He says, considering the outcome of their faith and the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. So we're saying, do they live godly? Are they faithful to Jesus? Are they faithful to the Scriptures? Are they faithful to His church? Are they individuals that you can depend on that when you watch them, their lifestyle lives out the truth based on Scripture? I don't think I have to be aware and make you aware that there's some who are not that way. But we ask the question, what kind of life are they living? The other Scripture passage I listed says, we have sent with them our brother whom we have often tested and found diligent in many things. And he talks more about that in that passage of Scripture. But notice what he said about them. We have tested, found them to be diligent. I suggest that good teachers are those who point to Jesus alone. Not the church, not baptism, not some other system, but Christ and Christ alone as our Savior. We have certain beliefs that we believe are important, but the bottom line, as I think about it, is who does that teacher point us to? Does he point us to Jesus as Savior and Lord and as the only way? Does he point us to being loyal to Jesus? Do they talk about the coming of Christ, the birth, the death, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus and His coming again? Are those key issues? People can talk about religious things and never get around to who Jesus is. And Him being the key to it all. I hope you agree that Jesus is the key to everything. He's the key to our salvation, the key to our life, the way we live. Everything comes out of Him. And then I'll talk more about Scripture in a minute. But I want to ask myself, what kind of outcome do I see out of those people's lives? The other side of the coin is on your notes, do they produce bad fruit? He went on to say in the Scripture passage, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be also be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be maligned, and in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. The outcome is going to be negative for them. One notices, false prophets or false teachers. They introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master. Are there people today in our world, when you listen to TV and other programs, who don't focus on Jesus, they focus on some system other than Jesus. There are. There are. There are those who come knocking on your door and say, let me talk to you about Jesus. But they're not going to talk to you about Jesus. They're going to talk to you about a different Jesus. Destructive heresies. Do they look good? Do they dress nice? Are they good neighbors? But are they wrong? Are they false prophets? They're false teachers. There are those on TV that you watch who have hundreds and thousands of people in their audience. And if you watch them, they sound good. But then when they get to the end of their program, they say, if you send me $69, which the Lord told me to have you send this week, you'll get well and you'll have a lot of money and things will go good. Does that bother you? So you ask yourself in those situations, what's the bottom? Are they really out for Jesus or are they really out for self? I realize that may be a little critical, but you need to evaluate carefully those who hear and based on Scripture, which I'll talk more about in a minute. But they produce fruit that is not for the Lord. They produce fruit for themselves or leading people astray. I am grieved when I hear individuals who get sidetracked on some of these other groups who lead them away from Jesus. There are those who knock on your door. There are those who send out your literature. There are those who are producing bad fruit. Because if you follow what they teach, you know what the fruit's going to be? They're going to go to hell. Because if you don't come through Jesus and you come through any other system, where are you going to go? So false teachers, the fruit for them is serious business. Now I realize some Christians who know Jesus get deceived, but there are many others who are getting deceived by their teachings that it means that they don't know Christ and that means they're going to spend eternity without God because somebody deceived them. My conviction is one day they're going to meet Jesus and he's going to call them to account for that false teaching. I don't know how that's going to happen. That's not my place. Praise the Lord, that's his place. But I need to realize, do they produce bad fruit? Do they produce changed lives or do they produce self-centered lives? Do they produce truth in Scripture and study of Scripture or do they produce you following their system or their program or their book or whatever? False teachers are around us. And Jesus said, beware of them because they look good. But the result is they have bad fruit because he said, what comes out of them is not what you want. I guess I could name a lot of groups. I won't, perhaps. But you need to check out any group who comes knocking on your door in the Scriptures. My conviction is you need to remember that on the other side of your notes, if you turn them over, remember teachers produce what they are. Jesus said in this passage, every good tree bears good fruit, bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. A tree will be known by their fruit. In other words, what comes out of the person is what they believe inside. It's what we are on inside that's the issue. And if you've never been transformed inside, you can't share the truth. You only can be a transformer of truth when you have been changed by Jesus Christ, by faith in Him who lived in this world, died on the cross, was buried, rose again, ascended to heaven. You got to come through Him. I don't care what else you do. You got to come through Him. And because those individuals do not have a genuine faith in Jesus and have not been born again, they are going to produce bad fruit. It's not always that they decide to do it, maybe, but because they have been misled or even deceived by the enemy. Can the enemy deceive people about faith? He does. And they produce out of who they are. The Scripture says a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. Now, when I think about this, I think we need to be careful. Because when you talk about evil men, what do you think? What crosses your mind? Who do you think about when you say evil men? You think about Hitler, or you think about Saddam Hussein, or you think about... is an individual who is teaching you false teaching an evil person. See, if I'm not careful, I say, well, they're not an evil person. They're just misled. Well, my conviction, my understanding of Scripture is there's only two. There's God and Jesus, God the Father and the devil. Is that accurate? If so, then if they're teaching for Jesus, they're not going to be teaching for the devil. But if they're not teaching for Jesus, they're teaching for the devil, and they're evil because they're leading astray from the truth of who Jesus is. So we need to be aware of those who teach us things. And I challenge you to always check them out. It's interesting that even many groups sound good. They do a bunch of rituals and all kinds of stuff that sound really nice. Until you get down to the bottom line, do they really know Jesus? Are they talking about Christ? Are they talking about some system or something that makes you feel good or whatever? And there are a lot of, I believe, they're out of who they are, they produce what they are. They produce what they are, it comes out. Jesus said the fruit in their life, the demonstration of their life will be that. So, how am I going to know? Am I going to go ask Charles Stanley? Well, what about David Jeremiah? What about Pastor Gene? Am I going to come and ask you? Where am I going to find whether or not these are true or false teachers? You know the answer, don't you? Right here. Right here. So, how am I going to know that this teacher is false or not? So if you're writing in your notes, you write in, study God's Word so I can discern godly teaching. Study God's Word so I can discern godly teaching. It says, then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These are more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the Word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. This is good advice. Of course, they didn't know about Paul like we know about Paul. But if anybody probably knew a lot about the Word and about God and about the Bible, it was Paul. Can you imagine listening to Paul preaching and going home and checking him out to see if he's right or not? That's what they did. They heard him preach. Paul and Silas were there. They searched the Scripture to find out whether the things he was teaching were so or not. And because of that, because they searched it out, the Bible says they believed many of the Greeks and prominent women and men in the community. Now I want to ask you a question. Are you in this Word? Are you doing more than showing up on Sunday morning for a sermon? Are you doing this on your own? Are you opening this book and saying, today, Lord, show me something out of this book? We need the daily devotion, but we also need to say, God, open it. So if you're not opening this Word, guess what? You're leaving yourself vulnerable to false teaching. Because the only way you're going to know the truth is know this book itself and know the truth of it and over and study it over and over and compare Scripture with Scripture. I like commentaries, I read them, but the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. It is still the best. And so running references and looking up commentary, looking up references and studying Scriptures and more than one passage that deals with it. So I challenge you, you need to be studying Scripture. Hope you have a strong concordance. Or if you got a computer, do Bible Gateway or whatever, and you can run, you can check Scriptures out. Because you need to know for yourself, not because David Jeremiah or Pastor Gene or Charles Stanley or Billy Graham or whoever said it. You need to know it because you saw it in the Word and you can say, this is what the Word says. I see what it says and I studied enough to know this is true and I'm going to anchor my life on it because the book tells me that's what's there. If you're not in the Word yourself, you're not going to know false teaching. So I challenge you, if you're not already doing a Bible study on your own, group Bible studies are good, Sunday morning Bible studies are good, all those things are helpful, but you need to be in the Word yourself. And I challenge you, if you're not, Set aside a time, starting today, sometime, the morning, evening, I don't know when you do it, to get in this book yourself and start reading it, making notes about it and studying it and comparing it and saying, God, show me. By the way, who wrote this book? Ultimately. Now, I know he used human people, but ultimately, who's the author of this book? The Lord God is. The Scripture says it's inspired by God. The God who wrote it knows what he meant by it, does he not? If you ask him to tell you what he meant by what he wrote as you read it, will he tell you what he meant by what he wrote when you read it? Say that again. He knew what he meant when he wrote it, and if you ask him, the author who wrote it will tell you what he meant when he wrote it and help you know what he meant by it. That's the joy of the Christian life, folks, in Christianity, because a lot of people won't allow you to study the Scriptures on your own. And if you study history, even in Christian circles or religious circles, there was years and years when people didn't have the Bible, they didn't read it. Only the priest told them what it said. Folks, you're in danger when you're waiting on the priest to tell you what it says. Any preacher, if you're waiting on the preacher to tell you what it says, you're in trouble. Not that we'd ever intend to deceive and don't ever tell you anything wrong. But you need to know. And I challenge you, check me out. I hope you take these notes and go home and say, is that true or not? Now, some of you stick them in your Bible and you'll look at them again forever. Would it be good if you took these thoughts, these Scriptures, and go home and read them and say, is that true or not, or what does that mean? Would that be helpful for you? So I'm saying, if I'm going to discern a false one, I need to know the truth. I don't need to study the false teachers. You can study them. My own personal opinion is the more I know the truth, the better I recognize falseness when it pops up. Because if I know it, and I know what it is, by the way, do you have Holy Spirit in you, if you're a Christian? Does he have a way of causing you to say, I'm not sure about that? And you need to check that out. Now, sometimes they say, I know whoever you heard it from was a pretty good guy. But do you go back and check it? To me, if there's a check in your spirit, as the saying goes, God's causing you to question that. You need to take a look at that. Is that true or not? And search it out for yourself in Scripture. And so Jesus talked about the fruit comes out of those. But if I'm going to know the false teachers, I believe I need to be in it. So the other scripture that I've listed on your notes says, but solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Solid food, the truth and the depth of the word is because of those by practice have their senses trained. That is, I put it to practice myself. I'm studying it, I'm learning it, I'm putting it to practice in myself, and I can discern good and evil. Aren't you glad he lets you do that? You have the Holy Spirit in you as you study Scripture and as you hear things. You can. I urge you to listen to that urging in your spirit. Because sometimes I listen to something, or I read a book or whatever, and something in me says, I'm not sure about that. That may be God's Spirit saying, you need to look at that. Come back to the book. What does the Bible say about those subjects? And study them. So, I know I'm preaching to the crowd, to the choir, the saying goes, but folks, I hope you're in the Word more than what you do on Sunday morning. You need to be in the Word over and over and over again on your own. You have the teacher. You don't have to have anybody else to teach you. Groups are good. Small groups, study groups are good. Not denying that at all. But you need to be in it. And I'm grateful to hear that you're doing that. So I want to search the Word so that I can know if their teachings are false or not. And I'm serious about that, saying, I hope you go home and check me out. Is what he said true or not? Or is there more to it than that? Because most of the time, if you notice, I don't list the whole passage of Scripture. It'd be good for you to go and look at the whole section that I put on here. I mean, if I put everything on here I could, we'd be here forever. No. But I just want us to do that. So I want to study so that I know what the Word says. And be aware that even though they may be good friends and sound good and look good, that they don't know the truth. And I need to know the difference. I like this. I found it. Billy Sunday, who was a preacher years and years ago, says this about Scripture. And I wanted to reread it. He says, 29 years ago, with Holy Spirit as my guide, I entered at the portico of Genesis, walked down the corridor of the Old Testament art galleries, where pictures of Noah, Abraham, Moses, Joseph, Isaac, Jacob, and Daniel hang on the wall. I passed into the music room of the Psalms, where the sweet spirit sweeps the keyboard of nature until it seems that every reed and pipe in God's great organ responds to the harp of David, the sweet singer of Israel. I entered the chamber of Ecclesiastes where the voice of the preachers heard, and into the conservatory of Sharon and the lily of the valley where sweet spices filled and perfumed my life. I entered the business office of Proverbs and on into the observatory of the prophets where I saw telescopes of various sizes pointing to far-off events, concentrating on the bright and morning star which was to arise above the moonlit hills of Judea for our salvation and redemption. I entered the audience room of the King of Kings, catching a vision written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Thence into the correspondence room with Paul, Peter, James, and John writing their epistles. I stepped into the throne room of Revelation where tower the glittering peaks where sits the King of Kings upon his throne and throne of glory with the healing of the nations in his hand. And I cried out, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. My prayer is that we'll get back. Stay. Be ready, because Jesus said you be aware of them, because they're around, folks. They're around. They really are. The last thing in your notes, just be alert for false teachers today, which is what I'm just saying. Be alert for false teachers today, because they are there and they are present. The scripture says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, but resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experience of sufferings are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. He said, be sober, be alert. Your adversary looks around to devour. Let me ask you, who does he want to devour the most? If a person is already lost and going to hell, does the devil worry about him? But if a person is saved, going to heaven, trying to live for Jesus, who does he want to bug? Because he wants to get us off track. And especially he likes to get preachers and leaders off track. Because if he can get a pastor to fall, he kills a whole bunch all at once. He hurts the faith. But he does it even individually. I'm convinced he's still looking for someone to devour. He doesn't come and bold and says, I'm going to eat you up. He just deceives us, I believe, and he moves us away from the truth over and over and over again. And I'm saying to us, God, help us to learn to stay to the truth. Be alert that there are false teachers today, and I want to be aware of them. Not that I go about worrying about it, but at least be alert to it, that when I hear someone else preach or I read a book. By the way, I used to think that if it's written in a book, it had to be true. I discovered that's not true. I don't know why I did. I guess that's for a long time I figured it had to be. It's not. There are many books today that are out on the market that are not true. Or the problem is they don't come out and say it's false. It sounds pretty good until you get down and you start looking at the truth in it, and then you realize, wait a minute, something's wrong here. And then there are a lot of those. So I'm challenging us today to remember there are false teachers. They may look good, but I want to be in the Word enough that I can discern by God's Spirit something's wrong here, and it's got to keep me on track. Because we don't want to get off track. We don't get deceived by the enemy at all. We want to stay tuned to the Lord and be His servants. Because if you get off track, can someone else get off track with you? And we don't want that. We don't want to lead someone else astray as well as our own life and to cause harm to the cause of Christ who died for us on the cross and rose again. He is our key. He is our theme. He is our focus. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. So, as we think about that, let's pray together. Think together. If you're here today and never received Jesus, and you've been thinking about it, now's the day to do it. Because the Lord Jesus died on the cross for you, rose again, ascended to heaven, and is coming back one day. But because of what He did, He wants you to commit your heart and life to Him again, to follow Him, who is the way, the truth, and the life. As a Christian, I pray that if you're already in Bible study, you'll just recommit yourself to being that on your own, as well as other opportunities, but especially on your own. If you're not in a daily study in Scripture or some period of time, I pray that today you'll recommit your life to say, Lord, help me. That with your help, I'm going to be back in the Word again. I'm going to take some time this week, whether it's every day or several days, but I want to be in the Word. I want to know what it says myself. God, help me. So you renew your commitment to be back in the Bible, reading it, studying it, seeking to know what it says. If there are other decisions about your walk with Jesus, something hindering you, then He wants to help you forgive you those, change them, alter the course of your life, because He's there for you and for each of us. Lord, You know what needs to happen today in my heart and everybody else's. I pray that today, in this moment of decision, that You will speak to us, that we'll have a sense in our own heart and soul that, God, You're calling us to make a step of faith or a change in life or a renewed commitment to You or whatever else. And, Lord, especially for those who may be in this building today who have never come to faith in Jesus and, Lord, are depending on something else, I pray that today will be the day when they move from their own world, their own plans, to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and begin to follow Him. Have Your way in this service, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We sing, You're committing your life to Christ, and so I encourage you to come. Renew your commitment. Renew your commitment to the Word. Trust Him as Savior, whatever. Pastor Ryan is here. I'm here. You had to talk to him. He'll pray with you. Let's sing.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live.
Is stay for lunch, because there is lunch downstairs, so hopefully you'll stay for that. And if you haven't signed up, there's some opportunities for other future events to help with lunch, and you're doing well with it in spite of not having the kitchen. I appreciate you making those adaptations. We've had good food without the kitchen, haven't we? Yeah, it's been good lunches, so thank you for adjusting to all of that while that's going on. So hopefully you'll read the things in the bulletin. I'm not going to read them all. I think you can do that by yourself. I do want to encourage you to attend our association meeting October 15th, which will be at Glory Bound in Berced. We'll have Dr. Fermin Whitaker, who's been the executive director of our state convention, will be the speaker. We'll also have the group called Light from CBU singing. It'll be a good meeting. So on the Saturday afternoon, so I hope you'll put that in your plans along the way.